Grace and peace to you this Thursday in Holy Week. The text for our meditation this evening is from Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words the Lord has spoken, we will do." Did they really know what they were saying? Were they agreeing to everything? "All that the Lord had spoken, we will do." Now that's a big order. We don't have to think about all the Ten Commandments to see the hopelessness of their response. We can think just with the two main commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. "We will do, and we will be obedient." Really? To love God with your all? Have you ever tried that? To love God and follow Him and obey Him with everything you are? Your heart undivided by competing loyalties, but given to Him and Him alone? Your only desire is to be in His presence and to do His bidding with all of your life? Your only fear that you might cause Him some displeasure by how you live? You go give it a whirl and tell me how easy that is. Of course, that's loving God. But then there's that other person who's created in God's image. And we're to love them as much as we love ourselves. Or again, as our Lord paraphrased, "Do to others as you want others to do to you." Have you given it a try? You most certainly should. But I'm afraid that you and I would end up far from successful. About as successful as the people of Israel who spoke these words, "Everything you say, we will do." You know, they put up that big promise, but they promptly fell flat very soon after that. Their journey through the wilderness of the Promised Land was full of problems, characterized by the lack of love for God. In fact, they grumble against Him. "When are we going to get some decent food on this trip? And will there be water for us? And how are we going to defeat our enemies?" And then they started squabbling with each other so much that poor Moses sat on his throne of judgment from dawn to dusk, trying to sort out all their complaints, and he couldn't do it. "All the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." Not very much. But despite their words and their foolish trust in themselves and what they could muster, the covenant was sealed with blood. And with that blood went forgiveness. For there's no forgiveness of sins, no remission of sin without spilling of blood. And half of the blood went on the altar, and the other half of the blood was on the people. Can you imagine that? If Pastor Elliot and I came out tonight among you and sprinkled blood on you, how would you like that? But the people gladly received that. It was blood, as blood was sprinkled on the people, that Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 other elders went up the mountain and saw the wonder of God's glory. And there they saw God. They saw Him on His throne, and beneath His feet was a floor of sapphire, blue as the sky above and flawless. And in God's presence, as the blood-covered ones, they were able to sit down there. And there was food, a banquet set. And they ate and they drank in God's presence. But the most amazing thing is they saw God and they lived. They were in the presence of God and they saw such holiness and yet continued to breathe. They lived despite the fact that they did not keep their end of the covenant. They lived despite the fact that love for God did not characterize their all. And they lived despite the fact that they did not love their neighbors as themselves. They lived because they were under the blood of the covenant. And under that blood, the presence of God came to them, and they experienced life and not death. Today is Maundy Thursday. You know, that name Maundy comes from commandment, because on this night, Jesus said, as we read from the gospel, a new commandment I give you, love one another. We are well aware that we have failed to keep this commandment of the Lord. The Ten Commandments, which spell out the shape of love in our lives, they accuse us without end, don't they? No, we do not love the Lord with anything close to our all. No, we do not love our neighbors as ourselves. Like Israel of old, we have not kept the words of the Lord to do them, no matter how many times we promised to ourselves we would, or to God or to other people. Yet, Jesus still comes to us this night. He comes to us and he readies for us a gift for all his people that have been on the heart of God since before time began and will go on sustaining his own until the day of his glorious appearing. He would provide a meal for his wounded people, his broken people who do not live up to the covenant of love. He would feed them a banquet of his own body and blood, so that they might live, so that they might be restored, they might be refreshed and forgiven and healed. And do you realize why there's life in that body and blood? Because it's the body and blood of the one who, in whom there was nothing but love. Love for his Father in heaven, and love for his people, his disciples, even us today. There is love for us. And is surely love for the neighbor, for you and me, and every member of our fallen human race. Jesus loved us as himself, indeed more than himself, for he would allow that body and that blood to fall and die. He would allow that body to be bruised and broken and pierced, and he allowed that blood to be spilt on the ground in the dust. You see, the law can never contain him, for his whole being, his every word and thought and action was obedience to that law of God. And it was always and is always love. And now he calls us to live under that body and blood. To live under that body and blood is better than to taste that wonderful meal that Moses and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 others partook of on that mountain. We only eat and drink not only in the presence of the Almighty One as they did, but through our eating and drinking, he, the God of Israel, comes to us to enter us with his forgiveness and to plant within us wounded people, a life that has no end, a life that death cannot overcome. We live because of what he gives us to eat and drink, the body and blood of him who is love, love incarnate, love crucified, love risen and triumphant, and love coming again in glory. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. The strength of your love for one another and for Jesus will now always pour into you from this gift of his love for you. His gift in the Eucharist, the Holy Supper that he brings to us tonight, guarantees that what you now enjoy in a hidden and a mystical way will always be there and always be your eternal glory in that life to come. He gives you the courage and strength to sing and pray, even as death comes to you. Be thou my consolation, my shield when I must die. Remind me of thy passion when my last hour draws nigh. Mine eyes shall then behold thee, upon thy cross shall dwell. My heart by faith enfold thee. Who dies thus, dies well. Enfolded in his arms, in his cross, and marked with the blood of the covenant, fed with the body of him who is immortal love, you are prepared for your passion, your suffering, and your death. Whenever it comes, you will be held by a love that is stronger than death and a forgiveness that is greater than all your sin. To him be glory forever. Our Lord Jesus, who gives us a meal to heal the wounded with his love. Let's sing those words now in hymn 450, stanza 7.